God is a great God. He's a miracle-working God. He can do anything. I can't, but He can. I was preaching over in the Poor Valley up in the River Bend Church the other night. I told some of the boys, I was talking about the miracle-working power of God. Strangest, I tell you, God just works. That's all I can tell you. I don't understand all about how He does it. But I said, well, we've worked for years trying to perfect electricity and all kinds of lights, you know, and make lights. And He had a bug He made years and years ago when I was a little boy. Used to catch one, kill it, and rip the rear end off of it, if you'll pardon the expression, and stick it on my finger. And it'd shine. Called it a lightning bug. It'd shine. That stuff would shine. And I was preaching in that little church about God's miracle working power. And here come one of them bugs in the door. And he flew up the aisle and he just shined his light and he dimmed it. If we could capture that source of energy, we wouldn't have to put a battery in nothing.
Amen. Right.
If we could learn how that bug can do that, we could run. We could take food and eat it and convert it into that type of energy. Because that bug eats something and helps him. And he flew right up where I was at. And I said, here comes a miracle right now. And lit right above my head. And I reached my finger up. And he crawled off on the end of it. And I held him up there. And he just turned his head and just looked at the people all the time. I was talking about him. I got through talking about him. I just stuck my finger up. And he flew about 2 foot above my head. And just shined his light. And went on off. Now that is a miracle. Yes, it is. We're living in the midst of the biggest bunch of miracles that a human family could ever have. As a witness to them, there's a God. Go out in the woods and a little old green lizard crawl up on a brown tree trunk and turn brown. Don't you know they do it? Tell me how, would you? Run back down the green grass and turn green. Yeah, they can do it. Well, I was down in Fort Worth, Texas, and a fellow said, we got a bunch of fish here in a tank. It beats all you ever seen. Just been discovered a few years ago. Fellas out trot line fishing. Had a cigarette hung over the edge of the boat. Kept going out. He got shine his light in the water. And there's a little old school of fish. And every time he'd stick that red looking cigarette over, they'd swat it with a squirt of water. You know what they could do? They could shoot water at 15 feet and knock flying bugs out of the air above that water. Knock that bug out of the air and eat it. Well, now, when that thing's moving, they got to be able to calculate how to shoot to get that thing and it moving. Well, I seen them with my own eyes when they put the hamburger meat on the glass above the water in the tank they was in, and I watched that little school of fish about 2 inches long swim up and cock the little bodies back and knock that meat off of that glass myself and eat it. They could do it.
Yeah.
Do you know that God's got miracles all around you trying to show you that He lives, that He's God, that He can do things? They put 6 light bulbs in sockets right above that water and had an eel laying down there and put a probe down on the end of his tail, one up on the front of him. He lit all 6 of them up. Why, God had electricity in the oceans before we ever learned to harness it and put it in the waters. Yes, sir. Had interplanetary travel going on when your great 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 grandpa was ever born. Had interplanetary travel going on. Had horses coming down out of heaven, pulling the chariot, and man of God getting in and going back to heaven.
Amen.
Well, He did do it. Yes, He's God. He can do anything. There's no question in the world about it. He's able to do it. Well, I'm going to talk to you a little while, and I hope I'll help you tonight. I'm praying to help you. I'm trying to find the will of God out while I'm here. You know I meet preachers. I'm a preacher. I love preachers. But you know what? I've never been able to figure out what to preach from one meeting to the next.
Me neither.
I just have to pray for God to help us.
Right.
Because He knows your heart. And He knows what you need.
That's right. Yeah.
He understands your thoughts are far off.
Preach it, brother.
Right. He knows when you get here whether you said, I'm so tired, I don't feel like going. And I'm depressed and I don't want to tell nobody. Don't sound like a sissy, but I'm just about had it. He heard you say that, and God will help you. In the 8th chapter of the book of Matthew and the 11th verse, 8th chapter of Matthew and 11th verse, But I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west, shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I don't ever preach messages because of people that are there. I doubt if I'd preach against wearing bikinis in the house of God if there's three or four women walked in here with them on. I don't get my messages by looking at people. I don't get my messages by the way people react. I pray for the Lord to give them to me, and I don't say anything about anything unless the Lord moves on me, or at least I feel that He does. That's not the way I preach. But last night, up in our little room, fine little place, folks been so good, bringing food and just helping us out just like we is just worthy of anything nearly. I'll tell you what, you mighty fine people. But we got up there in our fine little room there. Air conditioning, everything. You just can't hardly beat it. That's all there is to it. But we got up there, and way in the night, in a dark night, I heard my granddaughter just got one, and she's with us. She's between 2 and 3, somewhere in there. But I heard her say, "Mama, Mama." And of course, a grandpa, I'll just have to tell my daughter-in-law, grandpas are just like hoot owls nearly. I mean, I heard it when it first sounded, you know. Yeah. And I waited for the mother's reaction. And about the second time, I heard the bed give over there, and I knew my daughter-in-law was getting up to see about her. And a little bit, she said, "Drink of water, Mama." And you know, I lay there, and I said, "Well, I'm so glad they piped water up into here. I'm glad they thought of that. We may get her shut off and can't get her back on, but I'm glad got her piped up in there." It's marvelous that we could do so much. I remember when I was a boy, we had a shower on the back porch. It was a 55-gallon drum with the top out. And when the sun shined in it, you could have lukewarm water to shower in. And if it didn't, you just showered. I remember when we had the old number 2 tub we took our baths in. I remember when we finally got a modern house. Well, we just bragged on it. I don't guess it's good manners to run around telling everybody you got an indoor toilet. But then we just excited about it. We just know nearly anybody would be happy to hear that we had such a convenience, you know. Take a bath in the house. Shower, when we finally got inside shower, like to wore the faucets out. Taking showers, you know. Never did seem to have one so bad till we got that convenience, and then we just had to have a shower all the time. Had the Lord been good to us? I was raised poor, and the Lord has been good to me. I just thought last night when that little voice from the darkness said, "Mama," I said, I'm glad she had some mama to respond to her. And when she said, "Water, no problem," there's children tonight that says, "Mama, Mama." All it gets a cranky voice from a stepmother sometimes. I'm not knocking stepmothers now, but just maybe a drinking stepfather. And the little thing's clothes is not changed, and it lays there. It's the truth. But what came to me was a voice from the darkness. A voice from the darkness. "They should be cast into outer darkness. There should be weeping and gnashing of teeth." In the 22nd chapter of the book of Matthew, in the 11th verse, I would like for you to notice. "And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. He said to him, 'Friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment?' And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, 'Bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.' Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk." Them talk tanglers, they like to entangle you in your talk. to make out what you said be nothing in the ears of the hearers.
Right.
But Jesus has just told them something they need to know here, and is talking about a servant being bound hand and foot and cast into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. All day long I've thought of things to try to talk about tonight, and maybe something that interests you a whole lot, but it just kept coming from way before daylight till now. A voice from outer darkness. Help me. Get me some help. Oh, the voices that are crying to us now that we can help. And if we don't help, after a while, the request will come, but it can't be answered. There is not a mother here. There is not a father here tonight, a brother or a sister. But what if your loved ones, mother, if your boy would, you could hear him cry, Mama, Mama. You would answer if he was 95 years old, Mother. You would say, Son, what do you need? I went to visit a man in jail way up in years, not way up, but pretty far up in years himself. His 90-year-old mother got off of the elevator and walked up to the cell. He said, Mama, what are you doing here? I could have answered for her. I could have said, she's here because you are her son. We used to sing an old song in Oklahoma. An old mother come to the town to get her boy out of jail, and she said, I'm not in your town to stay, said a mother old and gray. I just come to get my baby out of jail. There's an outer darkness. If the Bible's not right, I don't know where we're at. If God's word is not so, I don't know anything. If the word of God is not true, I'm in the wrong business. But there's an outer darkness. And the sounds that come from there are requests from human beings. And they moan and they groan and they gnash their teeth. And they weep and they weep and they weep. Here he said there was a servant. I don't know how he got in. I don't know how he got in such a shape, but to cast him into outer darkness. Here is a guest that come in without a garment on. I don't know how he got past the people in authority. I don't know how he got in the door. I don't know how he got there. It's a shame in the world for people to sit on church pews and profess religion and die and go to hell. There's a gentleman that owned two businesses that belonged to a certain church. And he called, when he was on his dying bed, called his daughter to him. They'd been members of that church for years and years. He said, it's good to be with in life, and it's been good to be around these folks. But daughter, we're unsaved. Go, he said, and get that holiness preacher that pastors that church down the way and bring him in here, and let's pray and seek God. Let's pray and try to be saved. How did you get in here without a wedding garment on? Bind him hand and foot. Take him away. Cast him in outer darkness. If I know a thing, this is God Almighty as he cast him away. Well, I mean, it's God that's having it done. I mean, there's an outer darkness. The Bible is mentioned twice here. And from out there, you can hear the pitiful sounds. Do you love to hear weeping? I can't hardly stand it. I'm not so nervous, but that I can stand a child crying. But I can't hardly take it when they just, wow, 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 wow. Mama acts like she's deaf. Wow, 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 wow. Everybody around the child's about to have a nervous fit. Wow, 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 wow. Go see if there's a pin sticking it. Go see if it's got the colic. Oh, I know they're going to cry. They got to give you a signal. But, I mean, do you love weeping? I'm not making fun of babies. But, I mean, do you love crying? I can't hardly stand it. I go in the hospital, I hear them weep sometimes. I can only go past that. I want to know what's the matter. Why are you weeping and why are you sad? We can take the weeping out of people here. We can stop it here. But there's a world out there of outer darkness where men weep, that no mother that hears the cry could solve the problem My uncle was in World War I, 1917 war. It ended in 17. He was across the briny at war. He said, Lester, he's gone now himself. But he said the pitiful cry. He worked up pretty high in rank over there, made a great soldier for him. But men, he said unto me, young men, young, he said, when the shell ripped through a bunch of them boys' body, first thing many of them would cry was, Mama, as loud as they could. Mama. No wonder mothers woke up clear across the sea.
Sure.
Their bowels yearning for their children. No wonder they woke in the night and prayed till daylight because they heard that cry, Mama! I thought last night it's good that a mother could respond, but somewhere out there in that darkness in eternity, a cry comes. Look, I didn't feel like the Lord is going to have me preach to lost people so much tonight. I felt like when he touched me that he wanted me to talk to saints about their burden for their lost children, for their lost neighbors, their lost wives, their lost husbands. Now's the time to reach them. This is the place to make the effort. Out there in that long eternity, there's not a change. They cannot get saved out there. And now listen, it's the way God's going to do it. You could criticize God till you give out. It won't change it. I want you to look with me at John 15 and 6. John 15 and 6. Just a little Bible reading to you tonight about this subject. John 15 and 6. If a man abide not in me, is cast forth as a branch and is withered. Men gather them and cast him into the fire, and they are burned. Now, he didn't say that you was a branch. He didn't say you was a tree. But he said, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them, cast him into the fire, and they are burned. Now, men don't gather us up. We don't gather each other up and throw each other in the fire and burn each other. He's giving us a likeness here of what's going to happen to men that don't abide in Christ. They are cast into the fire. Why it was God's choice, they tell me, that he prepared hell for the devil and his angels. And men have intruded and decided to go. And it's the only choice God had, it looked like, to let them go to a place of torment, an outer darkness. I can still hear the cry, Mama, Mama. It's good she could respond, but somewhere in the outer darkness, somebody cries, Mama. Do you think people that die, that's where the devil blinds people? Tell them, well, you just go to sleep and you'll be no more. That's not the way it is. They go somewhere from here. That person that said, my hand hurts, is the one that lives in there. That one that said, I am too fat, it's that person inside that claims this body that they live in. My shoulder hurts, what is that in there saying, my shoulder? That's the one that'll groan or moan or rejoice through all eternity. I am tormented. I need help. Give me water. Water's so plentiful here, so far you can get it for nothing in most places. A few places charge, but in hell you couldn't get it if you had millions to pay for it. You couldn't get water. I notice here in Matthew 13 and 41, if you'd like to read, we're talking about a voice from the darkness. A plea, get me some water. And nobody can help them. Nobody could help them. Nobody could help him. 41st verse of Matthew 13, the Son of Man shall send forth his angels. They shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and do, and them which do iniquity. Do you believe that? I just believe the Bible. I can't help it. I wasn't raised a Christian home, wasn't taught the Bible. I wasn't a preacher or a preacher's son. I was going to be a foreman in the oil field. My daddy was a mechanic and a welder, and I was going to make a foreman in the oil field and did well on the road. Yes, sir, I run several machines and was a welder. And I was going to be a businessman. Yes, sir, I was already in business. We'd already owned one business, and I meant to be a businessman. Mm-hmm. But God called me.
But God.
God called me to go and preach. Go and preach. And
here he says in his word, the Son of Man shall send forth his angel. Do you believe he sends anything? I do. Sends the cold, sends the heat, sends the ducks, sends the geese. He sends, God sends things. I mean, he just moves on things and they go. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels. They shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. God said it, God knows it, and God has told us it'll happen.
Lord help.
The pitiful noises from that world of darkness. I don't want God to let me hear them. But tonight, if he would, I could hear people wailing and weeping and asking for water that we could identify, some of us here could, that left from Hamilton. We could identify who that voice is. God is moving upon preachers to go to have meetings, for singers to sing, and for prayers to pray, so we can rescue the perishing and care for the dying here. But in that world of darkness out there, those requests come and nobody arises to answer. Nobody can come and help. And they shall cast him into a furnace of fire. Punishment. The punishment that God has chosen for those folks that die lost. I notice in John, he said, they cast into the fire. Cast into the fire. And here he says it's a furnace of fire. And they'll weep. And they'll gnash their teeth.
Right.
You have perfect health in hell if you go. I don't want you to go. God doesn't want you to go. God is not looking for a chance to send you. He's not hoping for an opportunity to put you in there. He is not so cranky until every little thing you do, he's going to send you to hell for daylight for it. He may have some preacher talk to you. He may have somebody come and deal with you about it. He may deal with you personally about it, but he's not anxious to send you there. That's the reason he's got all this money invested in churches all over the world and preachers traveling and going, because preaching. Let the light in. Let the light in. I'm a lover of light. God has chosen outer darkness for an eternal abode for those that die unsaved. And he has chosen fire as a mode of judgment because they died in sin. Oh, it's so senseless to die a sinner when God is doing all he can and moving on churches to do all he can to get people saved without an excuse. Men be able to stand before each other if we had the judgment and accuse each other and fuss like we do here in our courts. But at God's judgment, no man can point a finger at Jesus Christ and say, you didn't do me right.
That's right.
No man can stand in front of the lowly Nazarene that gave his last blood that run down his side and say, you didn't do me right. No man can do it. No man can do it. That voice from out yonder, help me, and nobody can. I'll tell you what I want to do. I want to help them while I can. This peculiar mode of punishment we're talking about here in the 49th verse of the same chapter. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angel shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just. God don't bring it to a halt. We're already now right on the threshold of the very end of it. Right on the threshold of the end of all things. Knowledge has been increased. Why, we can put Mary's heart in Joe's body.
Yeah.
Somebody else's kidney in somebody else's body.
Yeah.
Fellow bought a van over home costing $25,000. Come to church the other morning. I looked in it. Visited just once in a while. The manager of a couple of stores over there. I looked back there and had a TV sitting in the corner. A little old TV. I said, does that thing work in here? He said, it does. I said, you mean you can go down the road 60 miles an hour and change channels and turn the thing up and down or on and off and it'll pour down rain and get a picture on that thing? He said, yeah. Could you explain that to me?
How did they get pictures out of the air?
Is that right?
What caused that? Daniel saw it coming and he said, knowledge shall be increased. God will just fix them so they can do things they never dreamed they could do. They can pick up a phone and ring it, and out of 100,000 people that live in a certain area, they can get the man they're calling and never get 17 voices jamming each other at once. Well, you didn't hear. Now tell me how that voice goes down that wire.
Yeah.
I stood out there on them poles. I couldn't hear it. Now, how'd you pick that phone up and hear it?
Right.
Turn the phone ring up and down so whatever it wants to do.
Yeah.
Would you explain that to me? We cannot explain what we have done, but God can. He said in the last days, I'll fix them so their knowledge will increase. That'll be in the last day. 75 years ago, I sat under the coal oil lantern at my aunt's house, and we played under the double eagle on an old male order guitar. Yes, sir. Before electricity ever got there. And it come through with electricity, and we hung an old bulb out in the middle of the room. We could have shouted over it. Blinded you so bad you couldn't hardly see nothing in the room. That old one bulb hanging down the middle. We thought it was marvelous.
That
night, yes, thank you. I better do that. Yeah, we just thought it was something wonderful. Well, we went a long ways from that. What's caused it? Your great-grandpa's a good man. Your grandpa didn't have no sense. Sure he did. Had plenty of sense. Raised better boys than we were raising now, and I love my boys, and I'm not knocking them. But I mean, you could go in the bank when Grandpa told me about their youth. He just went into the bank and said, I want to borrow $300, put in my cotton. Well, he didn't have to sign nothing. He didn't want to. That's all right, Robert. I'll be back here in the fall. Take care of it. If he didn't make good copies back in there, take care of it anyhow. That's all right. We'll just rewrite it, Bob, and just have it here next time. And well, they didn't distrust each other. It just operated that way. While old boy down home kept money hid behind a picture on the wall in the front room, sometimes have $500-$600 hid behind it. And the fellow beat him downtown, knowing him, said, said, you ain't got $100. And boy, yes, and it's out there at the house. Said, go by there and tell wife to reach behind the picture there in the front room on the wall there. Said, pull $100 out. Got it rammed in behind there and let you have $100. Tell him where it was. Well, Wayne Diller never did lock his house in Arkansas for 45 years. Never locked his house.
Right.
Never locked his house. Never locked nothing. Yeah, wasn't worried about none of it. That's back in the days when I bought my first new car. Went in the bank, the fellow signed up for me, never had no bank credit. And the banker said, what insurance you got? I said, they don't have any. He called a fellow, signed away. He's talking about me. I could discern it. You know what the old boy signed for me? He had plenty of collateral. He said, don't worry about the boy. He said, he knows what he's doing. I prayed two or four, bought it, and God showed me it wouldn't have no wreck, and drove it 100,000 and traded it. Went right back in the same, never did buy no insurance. Went back in the same bank, bought another one. Son said, who you got the insurance with? I said, I ain't got none. The same fellow signed again, said, come here. Don't worry about him. Say, no, what I did. I done told him. I prayed. Told Curly. I prayed too. Told Curly Mayfield. I prayed too. And I drove another 100,000 miles. Sold that one. Never had a scratch. Went in to buy the third one. Bought the third new car. The banker said, son, who have you got insurance with? Same old banker. I said, nobody. If you ever in the world get any, would you send me a copy of it? Would you? Never did get none. Now I've wore 17 of them out. Now, I'm going to talk to the devil, and I ain't talking to you. Now, you go on, devil, tell that somewhere. You tell him you got me into it. You ain't got me into it. I drove a million miles over 10 years ago and ain't had a rest.
Hallelujah.
You'll have one full daylight. You said that way back then. Well, if you have one, Brother Moore, well, I can't do nothing but shout. Ain't a fella wear 17 new cars and never have a wreck. If he had a wreck tonight, tore every fender off, roll every wheel of cannon, he couldn't do nothing but shout. That ain't no accident. Man, I drove. I've been where I stopped and turned the cars over and pulled them out of it. You ain't accidentally going to wear out no 17 cars. Drive over a million miles. I drove way over me. I ain't bragging. I'm just telling you, God is God. His word is so. He'll do what he said. And he is telling us tonight that there's an outer darkness out there. And he's making us know we're right at the end of all things. And the Bible said he sent forth his angel at the end of it and gather out of his kingdom everything that don't suit him. You won't be able to throw your voice, and I won't be able to throw mine. He ain't going to have nothing that don't suit him. Everything's wicked. It's coming out of there. Oh, it's time to get ready. This is the place to get ready.
Son of Man shall send forth his angels. Go after him, Gabriel. Go after him, Michael. You can't stop him. You can't shoot him. You can't kill him. They operate with instructions from over yonder. They don't care whether you like it or not. They don't care whether you believe it or not. When God told that man, go into Egypt and be thou there, he said, till I bring thee word. You know how you get what God wants you to have? You be thou there. That's how you do it. Go beyond Elijah and stay by the book. What book? I'll turn east, he said. I'll take west. You won't get where God told you to go then. Go east. Get over that book, Cherith, and stay there. And he said, there I commanded the ravens to feed you. That's where I told them to go. You read some folks don't get what God wants them to have. They ain't where God told them to be fed. I ain't talking about church houses now. I mean spiritually, you got to get what God wants you. If you get what God wants you, be thou there. And the angel of God come to Joseph in a dream and he said, arise, take the young child and his mother and go back. They're dead which suck the young child's life. God knows everything. God all of the water in the palm of his hand. Palm of his hand in, palm of his hand. Have a notion to go into an old time belly shake and shout. Praise God. There's such a thing as being religious. Voice out there stirred me this morning. Got a hold of me. No mother could help it. But ain't nobody going to be able to help folks that goes to hell. You'd do better here to let them get a little mad at you if they had to. I ain't talking about fussing with them, but this is the only chance for them. It's the only hope for them. Right here is the only chance. I've talked to a few. They tried to act like this. I'm in Annapolis Mall, or I mean, they just act like that, eat you up. Never mention God to them. You know, sometimes I don't pay no attention to that front. I say, come on, Jim, to church. I ain't coming. Oh, come on now. That's what that old boy told old Jim Rogers. I'll not be there. Oh, I said, come on. Jim run them pool halls and made a living with a deck of cards. Never lifted anything more than a deck of cards. Professional gambler. Got saved. Got off that booze. Got trying to get people saved. Made a great preacher. Very, very successful businessman. But I tell you what Jim Rogers done in Colorado. He met them old thugs he used to run with and gamble with. He said, come on. Oh, no, Jim. I'm not coming. Yeah, I said, come on. Come on down. I said, I ain't got no clothes. I said, come on. Oh, I said, I ain't got no clothes. Where are you overalls? I said, come listen to the singing anyhow. Yeah. Well, he said, I guess I will. He come down and sat there and listened to the singing and he couldn't get away. God wants to save you. God wants to help you. But it's too late. From the cry comes from outer darkness and the gnashing and the weeping and the calls for help. And nobody can get to them. They're eternally gone. Oh, if it was your grandpa, what would you do tonight? If it was your girl, what would you do tonight? If you could hear her screaming in outer darkness, Mama, Mama, great Lord, have mercy. You do. I tell you what, that old boy come. He went back home. He didn't get saved. Mean as a snake. Next day he went to work. One of his old buddies heard he went to church. He said, old John went to church. Old John went to church. Yeah, and he said, you're going tonight. Went home, told his wife, get ready. He said, where are we going? Church. Church! You know we don't go to church. Yeah, we do. I said, I'm going to get a whooping if I don't. Said, I know him. I work with him. Said, he whooped me. Said, he's got made him mad today. And he said, you're going. And said, I got to or get a whooping. Both got saved that night. Ain't that just like the Lord? You may be a regular two-gun Jim, but you're not slim. But you ain't a bit meaner than a bunch of these thugs that's sitting in here tonight that God saved one day. A bit meaner than they was. God wants to save you. But there's people out there in that outer darkness. If God had tuned us in on that wave link tonight, we'd fall on the floor and scream till daylight. If he had tuned us in on that screaming, that gnashing of teeth, we'd scream till daylight here for folks that needs help. It's the truth. That voice from the darkness. Ooh, I'd get up on the coldest night. It wouldn't make no difference. I've had a few calls come. I said, don't worry about it. I'm on the road. Help's on the way, son. We'll be there in a little while. Don't worry about it. I'm not such a great grandpa or father either, but I'll tell you what. If you hear the Moores, if you hear that David or Terry or Jessica or Brent or Charlene or Jan or be starving in Oklahoma, you can say they'll be starving too. Yes, sir. We'll all starve to death together. That's the truth. Here's a place to answer that request. Don't wait till they get out there and join that bunch. Cast them in. God has chosen a very peculiar way of punishment. Cast them in the furnace of fire. That's the only place. Now, I can't run God's business. I don't know how to do anything about the weather, nothing else. I just accept it and thank God because He's the one that runs it. Here He is in Matthew 24:51. 50th verse. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, in an hour is not a world. Talking about a backslider here. He got looking for the Lord to come, decided he wasn't going to come, and he went back to eating and drinking with the drunkards and got back in bad shape. I've never met a happy backslider. I've never met a happy man that's left God. They are not happy. Once you tasted of this, it'll never satisfy. Our chunder will never satisfy. But he went back. And when he comes, he'll cut him asunder. Appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There should be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Only place to go. I'd hate to live with Adolf Hitler and Mussolini and Joseph Stalin. All the murderers of the centuries gone forever and ever. Never murdered nobody. Never was that kind of a man, but just wouldn't pray and wouldn't be saved and have to go there in that outer darkness and be tormented with flames forever in the presence of those kind of people. Did you know that you'll have perfect health in hell? You're not sick there. Nobody's sick in hell. You're not sick in heaven. You have eternal existence in hell, but it's called a second death because it's an eternal separation from all that's good and godly, all that's joyous, all that's beneficial. In heaven, you have eternal life because you're in the presence of God and you enjoy it, the river of life, and everything's good. But over there, you exist. You don't take on with the toothache or the backache or the legache so much. You're tormented in a flame. You have your senses there just like they do in heaven. You have your five senses just like they do when you live in this body. But in hell, you'll be and you will be able to remember. May the Lord help us tonight. It's enough to startle anybody into saying, I can, I will, I do believe that God will save me. I can get back, I can have God. That voice from outer darkness, that voice in the darkness woke me up this morning. Mama, Mama. And when she said it, I could hear the voice of a million, it seemed, from out there across the way. Mama, Mama, Mama. Great God, help us tonight. There should be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The 25th chapter, I'm going to finish here in a minute. The 30th verse, your attention. And cast ye the unprofitable servant, God said, into outer darkness. There should be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Over and over and over again. He didn't say it once or twice. He said enough to let anybody know there's an outer darkness. And they weep there. And they gnash their teeth there. And there they cannot have answers to their request. I notice everlasting fire is mentioned in Matthew 18:8. Never ceases to be. Forever and ever and ever. Somebody said forever could have an end. Well, God showed us He meant more than that to it because He said forever and ever. No end to it. In Mark 9:44, 46, and 48, the Bible says, for the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Life never fails to be. They're alive from now on and on. I will admit to you as a preacher, I've wondered and prayed, Lord, would sometime it stop? Would it? Somewhere would it stop? After, if we kept time, there's no time in eternity, but if we could clock off a million years, if we could keep time for a million, would you then stop it? But as long as the word forever means from now on, and as long as the word everlasting means no end to it, and as long as forever and ever means without end. We don't have any dictionary, any man smart enough to explain away everlasting. It just keeps on going. People have heard this for the ages, for years. Go home and say, that's a nice message. If it's your daughter or your boy tonight, and you could hear them screaming, Mama, Daddy, Mama, Mama, from outer darkness, what would you do? Look, it's not enough, Mother, for you to say, pray for my son. You must pray for your son. We had a boy in the war, not our boy, but a boy down home in the war, in World War II. His old guitar hung on the wall in Mama's house. I knew him, made a preacher when he got back. One night away in the night, a guitar string broke on his old guitar hanging on the wall. Just broke like that. Mother woke with a start. Everyone, L.L. Collins broke. All six of them, one at a time, broke right there on that wall. I've had him preach in my church. It's been a long while since I've seen him. Indian boy. Every string on that guitar broke hanging on that wall there. Bing, 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 bing. You know what Mama done, don't you? She got out of that bed, and she prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed when he got back from war. She said, son, on a certain day in a certain month, where was you at? They got the timetables together and him across the world and changed the time to figure it all out. Oh, Mama said we was in bad, bad, bad battle. It looked like I was a goner. That was when God broke all the strings on the guitar. I wish you'd tear a few guitars up if you'd have to wake a few mothers and fathers up before that weeping and gnashing and them unanswered requests from that world of darkness begin to try to pour in. I remember well that man down in Virginia. He said, Brother Moore, I'd go to the bottom of the mountain and pray for my boy. He said, I didn't feel like I prayed to. Went halfway up the mountain into the cave and prayed. Didn't get prayed to. He said, many times at daylight, I'd be in the other little cave way up the top of the mountain praying. He was talking to me like that. And he said, there he comes through the door now. Big old 6-foot strapling. He said, when he got back from war, I told him one night, son, prayed all night long, wound up in the mountaintop. Where was you? In enemy-infested submarine waters, Daddy. We is in a bad place. That's the night God said, how about it tonight? It'll be too late when they cry, Mama, for water and nobody to give it to them. 16th chapter, book of Luke, you read of the rich man that went to hell. Didn't go to hell because he didn't have good sense or because he made money. Went to hell because he didn't fear God. Went to hell because he didn't love God. He died and was buried. And you know what the angels did? They was pallbearers for Lazarus. Took him to Abraham's bosom. And in hell, the rich man lifted up his eyes. And he cried. Not just tears, but tears too, without a doubt. But he lifted up his voice and he cried. Send me a good square meal. No. Send me some good transportation. No. Send me an asbestos suit. Some deep as far from hurting me. No. Send lads with a drop of water. I have already put on like it. I didn't even want what I was drinking when I knew that my children wanted it. I've already turned loose of more than one piece of meat that I really wanted because we didn't have that much and I seen they wanted to eat it. I don't need it. Why, I've took the last, I'm not a great gum chewer, but I took the last piece of gum out to chew it and my grandchild wanted or somebody in the family wanted. Why, sure, I don't care for it anyhow. I wanted it, L.L., but I want them to have it. What are you saying, Brother Moore? There's a place where they asked for one drop of water. If there's a person in this building that needs water and can't go get it, I'll hand this microphone to him right now, and if I can get me a cup, I'll find one somewhere. I've got one at Turtle McCarran over on that. I'll go get that cup and fill it with water and bring it to you. That's what I'll do. But there's a place in outer darkness. There's a place in a place of torment where your company gnashes their teeth and makes pitiful sounds. And every once in a while you can hear a lonesome boy say, water. Oh, I wish Daddy could come with me a cup of water. They dream of the good cool water from the spring. They dream of the good cool mountain streams. They dream of the good cool water in the icebox. They dream of the ice cubes in the glasses. And is it that real, Brother Moore? Is that real? If this is not so, I'm wasting your time and mine. If what I'm saying to you is not so, I don't know nothing about the Bible. I'm an imposter, ought to be stopped. But from outer darkness, requests are pouring in. He cried because he was lonely. He cried because he was sad. He cried because he was tormented. He cried because there's no hope there. He cried because there was no peace there. He cried because there was no God there. He cried because his opportunity was gone. And he cried because he needed just a drop. He'd like to have a gallon, but he's not asking for a gallon. In life he had it. He had plenty of stuff. But now he's asking for just a drop. Send Lazarus. He may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. Now, flame gives off light here, but this is outer darkness. I don't make two places for souls to abide in eternity that are lost. Just one. They'll eventually wind up in the lake of fire, but it's dark out there. It's dark out there. It's dark. No wonder that his pray day and night while lost boys lay on the sick beds praying for God to save them. You hear them, I hear them. Preachers go through it all the time. We have funerals and they say, thank God he died saved. I buried Mother Cox a year ago, or a little better, and buried her husband, Dad Cox here, Brother Ralph Cox's father and mother. Buried him the other day. He begged to die. Ralph said, I've never seen a man want to die so bad in all my life, Brother Moore. My daddy wanted to die worse than any man I ever seen. He begged God, let me die. Let me go to your heaven. Take me where you're at. Take me where you live. Take me where heaven is. He wasn't going to commit suicide, and he didn't. Got his mind back good before he died. Told his boy, where is it going? I went to visit his mother when she was a dying. Ralph's mother said, I'd be glad when I get this business of dying over with. Yes. Just a little while before she died, she said to her girl, I owe my son Ralph. He's my pastor. I have some tithe money here in the pocket there that I owe Ralph. Let me have it. And it said, Mama, done give it to him. I want that took care of, she said. Yes. There's a land of pure delight over there. Where faith is lost in sight, over there, there'll be Moses to be seen, viewing fields of living green. Mary will beat the tambourine over there. Y'all believe that? I stepped to Vince Wilson's bed. How many knew Vince Wilson? I stepped to Vince Wilson's bed yonder in Virginia the other day at Bristol in that little old house trailer. He said, Brother Moore, he don't know hardly anything. Vince is just about gone. The little old ancient preacher, happy over his religion. Every time he'd come to meeting, where is that? They'd give him a change. He'd give you that peculiar stomp dance he had and talk about how he loved God and that good religion. Oh, yeah. I gripped his hand in the little house trailer as he lay bad and said, Vince, I said, do you know who's got you by the hand? Been months since I'd seen him. Hadn't heard my voice in months. I said, Brother Vince, do you know me? He said, sure, I know you. You're L.D. Moore. He said, you're Lester Moore. I remember you preaching. He said, I remember it. Vince, I said, I'm preaching at the River Bend Church, yonder in Poor Valley, where you preached 27 years ago, your first message in that valley, right over the ridge there. His eyes filled with tears. He had that far away look. Well, Naomi and Ruth will be there. They shall have eternal youth over there. There'll be Moses to be seen, viewing fields of living green. Mary will beat the tambourine over there. You got your chance. The rich man had his, but he cried in hell for a drop of water because he was tormented. And did you know that Abraham said something that you can't take? You can't undo it. I don't care how you try. You can try it till you give out. They put an artificial heart in Barney. Was his name Barney? Somebody? Artificial heart? Yeah. You're saying, yeah, Clark? Right, right, yeah.
That's right. Put that heart in him, and a sinner man come to my house. He's my age nearly. He said, L.D., said he can't die. Yeah, said he can, Earl. No, he said he can't die. He's got an artificial heart. And he won't quit beating. Said he can't die. Did die, didn't he? And it was a beating after he died. And they had to take it out, and they're going to put it in something else. See, the heartbeat is not necessarily a sign that you're alive. Cancer is not necessarily a sign you're going to die.
No.
Death is not is not TB or a heart attack or a stroke. See, it's the enemy of God, and it comes on people that's just as healthy as you are, and they die just like that. They run autopsies on them and can't find a reason in the world why they ought to die. Because death is not a disease. It is brought on by diseases sometimes, but it's not a disease. It can get you when you're sound asleep or wide awake and not a thing wrong with you. What are you saying, Brother Moore? We're going to go to eternity. Regardless of all inventions men have made, nothing can stop us from our journey. Don't believe that foolishness some preachers preach, that if you get where God wants you, you can have eternal life in the flesh. You can't do it. I thought about poor old Jimmy and a bunch of others. So they weren't going to get sick no more. They've got so far out spiritually till you never need to be sick again. Well, the poor fellows, Brother Carpenter, they're doing just like you. They're losing their hair, and they're looking old, trying to think they're young. They ain't young. They're breaking down, and they're headed for the grave, and they're going to get sick and die. Now, Brother Moore, what are you getting to? One more thought, and I'm going to close out. I don't know whether anybody will come to altar tonight or not. I don't know whether there'd be a mother lead the way or not, but if you could hear your baby in that darkness forever saying, bring me water, Mama. Bring me water, Mama. Ain't no sense in going to hell. There ain't no sense in dying lost. You can be saved. You know what? He said, send Lazarus. And then he got into God's fixing. Abraham said beside this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from us unto you cannot, and that would come from you to us cannot. Now, you can figure that out. And I'm not saying over in heaven that there are those that like to run over into hell and take a bucket of water. But if God would let them have a glimpse of the sun down there, and he'd let them go and take it, they would. But he said there's a great gulf fixed. And you know, when God fixes it, you can't break the law of God. You can do anything you get ready to try to break it. But there's a few things we'll never be able to do in life because God commanded it not to be done. And nobody can do it. Nobody can do it. And he said, there's a gulf fixed. We're great travelers. We can shoot things to the moon. We can walk on the bottom of the sea. But there's a place where no man has been and come back and given us a report. I've never met a preacher of all the spiritual men I know that's been to hell and back. I mean physically been to hell and back. And it's there. But there's a gulf fixed. A barrier. All right, tonight I preached to y'all a while on the voice from outer darkness. Do you have any lost people? How many has got lost people? Well, let me ask it like this. You that raised your hand, was you lost one time? Are you saved now? Raise them again if you're saved, are you? Well, then there's hope for your lost people. Because God saved you, he can save them. But look, it's too late. Do get persistent with God. Do get down to business with God about them. Do like the old mother did, her husband was dying. Crawled up on his bed, got bad, sick, lost. Began to die. This happened. She crawled up on the bed on her knees beside him and prayed for the hour. They begged her to quit. He's gone. He can't come back. His mind is bad. His health is gone. She said he's lost. Said he's lost. He's lost. Forever lost. She prayed till he come back too. And he said, Mama, what's wrong? She said, you're dying lost. You're dying and you're lost. You're not saved. You're dying lost. He prayed through and got saved and died. When my wife's father lay in the hospital in Oklahoma City, bad sick, I went to visit him. And the great physician left the room, said to the relatives, "He's all right, he make it fine." He walked down the hall, and God said to me from heaven, "He'll die before another morning light. Before the gray dawn of another day, he'll be dead." I said, "Beatrice, your daddy'll die tonight." "Oh, no." "Yes, he'll die tonight. Your daddy'll die tonight." "Oh," said, "what must we do?" Said, "You need to talk to him about the Lord. We had talked to him before." "No," I said, "I'm not the one." "You are. You're the one. You're the one." She went to her daddy's side. She said, "Daddy, you're bad. You're bad. You're going to die. And you're lost. You're unsaved. You're lost. God is so merciful." The old man raised his hand and said, "God, forgive me for every sin I've ever done." Now, you may think that if you don't live for God for 40 years, you can't hardly get through the gate. If you do, he'll throw you over in one corner and throw you a crust of bread now and then and treat you like you ain't hardly welcome because you didn't do nothing. But he won't. He'll never do it like that. God saved him. In a moment's time, God sent his great power in there and plucked him out of the jaws of death. Plucked him out of hell itself, looked like. I ran from the burning, thank God. God got him. Us come to this altar tonight and pray for God to help us not to have to think that our loved ones is going to make them pitiful noises from that world of lost people. Everybody stand. On everybody, raise your hand about them lost people. Come down here and pray with me for your people. I'm going to pray with you. Everyone, come on, children, that's it. We're going to ask God to help us get the gospel to them. We're going to ask God to send them to this church house. We'll ask God to deal with them tonight. Let conviction come on them and cause them to be saved before they make them noises with that other bunch. All right, all right.